Welcome. This is Monty. Taking my typical daily 5 mile walk. Well, it's not daily. It's like just sporadically during the week, Mondays particularly. Anyway, it's my 5 mile walk where I contemplate and sort of meditate about the bigger macro picture or vision. And today I'm putting a little bit more emphasis on Bitcoin and the U.S. economy and or the world economies for that matter. And I'm thinking, see, a lot of you Bitcoiners, you're getting frustrated, and I don't blame you. We are getting frustrated. We think Bitcoin is being held down. We think Bitcoin has been manipulated. Wall Street is using their typical strategies of coming out with synthetic instruments that leverage Bitcoin without any real backing. Excuse me, I have to get a sip of water. Wall Street uses options. Wall Street uses futures. Wall Street may back Bitcoin futures or whatever with physical Bitcoin, as we like to say, or some sort of paper-backed instrument, right? They will do everything possible to treat Bitcoin as they treat other assets in the traditional space. But we, being frustrated as we are, we have to realize we don't have to be sitting ducks. When you guys get a chance, look up Amir Taaki, and I'll link this podcast to this article where Amir Taaki, he takes Bitcoin maximalism to a very, very, very high level, exponentially higher. If you think Bitcoin maximalists are adamant about Bitcoin being number one and being a world currency and such, Amir Taaki takes that and exponentially multiplies that by a factor of 10. So what you need to understand is not all of us want to see Bitcoin stymied and manipulated and held down like gold has been held down, like, you know, real estate prices have been overinflated. In other words, there's gross manipulation to the benefit of the status quo or the traditional fiat system. Okay, you know it and I know it and everybody else knows it. So what am I proposing? This is what I'm proposing. When you detect a weakness within your opponent, you're supposed to strike while you can. Right now, with the Federal Reserve pumping $400, $500, $600 billion into the repo market, because the bank's liquidity has dried up. When you see interest rates going towards zero in the United States and below zero outside the United States, when you see, you name it, retail stores closing by the thousands, when you see a manufacturing recession, when you see the service sector also collapsing, this indicates there's a problem with the economy. And see, Bitcoin is supposed to be a refuge for those who want to park their assets, whatever they have left, into something that's going to be there, something that they can control, something that the government just can't snatch from you. If we all use Ledger Nano wallets and Trezor wallets, for instance, a lot of our wealth would be beyond the reach of governments. They would literally have to beg us to get access to those monies, the Bitcoin, in order to further fuel this beast that's dead set in terms of destroying us. I was just reading the other day where some woman in the Trump administration, she was tasked with the idea that there's a vulnerability. If there's a vulnerability in Bitcoin, find it and destroy and just get rid of Bitcoin. That was her job. But obviously, whoever asked her to do that didn't understand the implications, didn't understand, you know, the decentralized nature of Bitcoin and the anti-fragility of Bitcoin. So we're getting a lot of very meaningful admissions that Bitcoin is here to stay. The IRS came out with some guidelines indicating that on certain tax forms going forward, you have to declare your cryptocurrencies, right? Well, doesn't that tell you guys something? If the IRS is acknowledging the cryptocurrencies and asking you to declare what you have, that means they know, just like you know, that Bitcoin is not going to disappear anytime soon. Okay, you don't ask the entire U.S. population who's paying taxes to declare something that's not going to be around very long. Either it has value, or it has staying power, or it doesn't. This is black and white. Okay. So anyway, where I'm going with this is being proactive. Unfortunately, means we need to take a stand while we're sitting there like ducks waiting for, you know, the quants on Wall Street and the regulators and Washington and law enforcement types and such to suppress Bitcoin and weaken it and water it down. Why don't we follow Emir Taki's lead in terms of coming out with dark finance tools? I want you to write that term down, because it's going to be something that we all need to understand and share. Dark finance tools. These tools will allow us to create our own derivatives if we need to create our own futures and options or whatever, so we can leverage the ability to use Bitcoin as a way of crashing national economies. The U.S. economy, as I mentioned, is very vulnerable. There's a number of economies that are very vulnerable. Once these economies and once the central bankers see that we're actually causing the collapse of economies, they're going to think twice about what significance we represent in the Bitcoin space. In other words, when if we start off with a smaller economy and crash it, and the citizens and such will understand that we need to get into Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is obviously stronger than a lot of national economies. It actually has more staying power. It's actually programmable money, and it's a store of value, and it's also a means of payment. So, in other words, you crash smaller economies just to learn the techniques and strategies, get a down pat, then you move on eventually to the United States economy. So this is what I propose. We need to come out with our own dark tools, dark finance tools, start with some smaller countries, crash them, causing the citizens to flee into Bitcoin, not out of convenience, but out of necessity. And then you move up the ladder, where you actually cause, larger economies, whether it's China, Japan, or the United States, European countries, whatever. They have to be pushed over the edge, because the Federal Reserve and central bankers, they have the ability of pumping free money, newly printed money, into the system to keep these zombie companies and zombie banks alive as much as possible. But no amount of money, no zero unlimited bound interest rate strategy is going to save them if we give it a little push. In other words, when someone is on the rope, someone is standing on the edge of a cliff, and you want to get rid of them, you just give them a little bit of shove, okay? It's quite simple. So in other words, let's stop waiting for something to happen. Let's make something happen. So when you get a chance, read my blog associated with this podcast and follow Emir Taki, A-M-I-R. Taki is T-A-K-I, I think. Emir Taki. Anyway, I'll put it in the blog and everything. But this is what we need to do, okay? So again, let's stop playing around like and hanging on like sitting ducks, and let's realize, oh yeah, Taki is T-A-A-K-I. The first name is Emir. So that's A-M-I-R, and Taki is T-A-A-K-I. Follow him. Look at his YouTube videos. If he's tweeting, follow the tweets. If he's on Facebook, which I doubt very seriously, go there. But one way or the other, familiarize yourself with Emir Taki, because a lot of us claim to be Bitcoin maximalists and evangelists. And we want world domination. We want to make Bitcoin a national currency that dominates all other currencies. But how many of us are going to actually take a stand and make something happen versus being passive like a doormat and having the traditional power players tell us what to do, okay? So we need to strike while the iron is hot. You know, and I know, that there's a million indicators that the United States economy is on its last legs. That there is no way for it to survive going forward. It's going to collapse, and it is collapsing for a lot of people, a lot of companies. But we need to give it a little shove and push it over the edge so that we can have this ecosystem actually replace it, okay? Once all the wealth of the planet starts flowing into Bitcoin at a significant pace, we will incentivize our developers, incentivize our miners, incentivize people who want to run nodes. We'll develop into the type of system that is self-sustaining. We'll use that existing momentum that we create because we'll have the resources. Once you get the financial resources of the populace of the world and one country at a time, for instance, that's going to be the financial resources which will provide the incentive for us to further create, further develop, further market, if you will, who we are, what we're all about, and what we represent in the future. Because, you know, developed countries, they don't use Bitcoin out of necessity. Developing and emerging markets, that's what happens with those guys. They know why. They know what's going on with Bitcoin. They know that it's imperative. Venezuelans and Zimbabwe people, maybe Argentinians, people from Greece, Turkey, etc., they all know that. You don't have to tell them. But unfortunately, people in a developed world, they want to speculate. They want to make a quick buck. They want to jump in out of the market. They have no clue the true value of Bitcoin. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go and listen to my podcast. Make sure you understand the implications of being a sitting duck and or versus being aggressive and being proactive. Okay, that we can do this. You've been waiting. You've been looking for a way to get us on the map and replace the traditional fiat system with Bitcoin. So now you have it, okay? Anyway, I'm going to finish my 5-mile walk. You guys take care. We'll talk later. Bye.